I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the second season of your favorite podcast, Overlooked and Undercooked, a critical review of Rob Schneider's Netflix show, Real Rob, written by Rob Schneider, produced by Rob Schneider, starring Rob Schneider,
directed also by the great Rob Schneider.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
This is one of the first questions you have to ask us, because it's written by the three stars, Rob and his wife and Jamie. And, you know, like it's entirely insulated from external critical eyes. So on one hand, this, you know, this can be how auteurs work. Auteurs work.
Welcome to the show, everyone. That's the beautiful baritone of Guy Halifax Alexander Montgomery. Have I got it around the wrong way? Yeah, it's Alexander Halifax and then his surname, Montgomery.
Yeah.
I am Tim Batt, and we are in the bowels of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And that can mean only one thing. We have to watch and review every episode of Rob Schneider's Netflix project. An episode at a time. If only you could see the face that Monty just gave me. So every subsequent episode to this, we'll be featuring, hopefully, a new guest comedian. But as is tradition, the boys kick off alone.
Right. And what better way to start the day than with Season 2, Episode 1 of Real Rob, released in the year 2017, an episode called Acupuncture and Spring Rolls.
How do we unpack this, Monty? Because I've just been very angry for the last 32 minutes.
I think the best way to do it is to maybe describe what they have attempted to... the story that they've attempted to tell.
Yeah.
So do you want to just tell me what you would describe as the plot of this episode?
Here's what went down in this important episode of internet television. Firstly, we established that Rob and Patricia are moving because they're... I don't know why.
No,
I don't know. I've no idea. It's not mentioned and it doesn't matter. But Jamie, the assistant... the long-suffering assistant to Rob Schneider, is helping Rob move a large, what would you call it, dresser?
Not a bureau.
It's not a bureau.
Large dresser.
Yeah. Like a legit wardrobe, really. Yeah. It looks like a stand-up wardrobe. Trying to get it up some stairs, and...
Can I say, within 1 second of you seeing Jamie on screen again...
Yes.
The first thing Tim said... Wouldn't it be great if Jamie got killed this season?
Yeah, I said, I wonder if they'll kill him this time. That'd be really cool.
I sort of imagine a South Park-like world where they just... Because this is sort of what they did in the first season, where they just constantly just, you know, throw physical and mental problems at this character.
Yeah.
To the point that, you know, almost breaking point. But because it's so cartoonish, their portrayal of humanity is so negative and cartoonish, he always bounces back.
I think it's quite existential. It's like Nietzsche. Jamie is the fallen state of humans that is sort of inescapable for us all. We are just suffering at the hands of an indifferent universe that constantly throws stuff at us. Rob Schneider is, in this analogy, I guess, a very indifferent god. Anyway, predictably, he gets fucking owned by that dresser. You better believe.
And an incredible piece of physical comedy. Rob,
great practical effects.
Rob, in the middle of moving this huge dresser up a flight of stairs, takes a phone call from his wife, who he discovers is working on a commercial set. She's the face of a furniture company, and he didn't know that this was happening. They've got pretty poor communication in there.
Yeah.
Marriage, I think the reason they have poor communication is so that they can create the illusion of plot and dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, if he already had that information, I literally don't know what that... Like, I don't know what they'd talk about. I don't know what there is for these two to talk about, not just in the show, but in their real life. They appear to have no chemistry whatsoever.
No chemistry, nothing in common. And what's insane about that is this is Rob Schneider's real-life wife.
Absolutely. And so he takes a phone call. He forgets he's moving his huge dresser with Jamie in spite of his consistent loud protestations. And then... eventually,
he gets fucking owned.
Yeah, eventually he leans on the dresser while he's on the phone.
Blam!
And it's actually not a bad piece of physical comedy. And it is satisfying to see any character in this movie just get totally leveled.
Yeah.
And this guy gets fucked up.
He does. Which triggers the sequence of events where Rob is right back into his ranting, which is a kind of real-life slice of his personality about the woes of Western medicine and how it doesn't actually solve any problems. It just takes the pain away using painkillers. So he decides to, Rob chucks Jamie in the car and takes him to a acupuncturist that he knows. And this is the first of so many examples in this episode of interstitials, which is electro swing, which was cool for 7 days in 2014.
I think electro swing is evergreen in the world of Rob Schneider.
And
I think, you know, when you see, do you ever, when you see people walking with headphones on, do you ever wonder what they're listening to?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. How many people do you think are listening to electro swing out there?
The Schneiders.
The Schneiderheads. The Schneblers.
In Melbourne, I don't think anyone is.
Yeah, I think they're too cool. Although, I was in a cafe that was basically a parody of itself the other day, which was playing electro swing. And I was like, is this ironic or are we doing this? Is this for real? And they were playing like electro swing covers of, you know, good songs. And then they just started playing Richard Cheese.
Oh, that's covers. Pretty good.
So I was like, maybe this is just a comedy cafe. I don't know.
So Rob Schneider drives, as represented by 2 minutes of sort of, how do you describe that camera technique?
I think it's called hyperlapse.
He's driving past a lot of low rise kind of, you know, strip malls, and they arrive at his old doctor, Dr. Shen, and this is probably one of, I haven't re-listened to season one, but I remember there was some pretty abhorrent treatment of characters who weren't Rob Schneider.
Yes.
But they go into this doctor's sort of warehouse, and it's not as he remembers it. It's been that his doctor died 10 years ago of bone cancer, and the doctor's daughter has been...
Which we can all agree is a beautiful premise for a joke. Like, that's just fertile ground for comedy. Died of bone cancer 10 years ago.
Oh, I thought he got better. But as though to elevate the opportunity for laughs, instead of entrusting the dialogue that he has written to the character who's been hired, presumably a Chinese actor because it's a Chinese medicine, you know, hall, I guess.
Yeah. And that character struck me as kind of gender ambiguous, which I thought was sort of cool of Rob, and then I got very worried.
He's redubbed in ADR all of their dialogue, doing his best. Like,
I don't know if his best is...
American Chinese accent, and it is...
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
It's insane. Because, yeah, so first it didn't match up very well. And Guy just said, have they overdubbed the dialogue here? I was like, oh yeah, it doesn't match up. And I was like, oh my God, that's Rob Schneider's voice. Why is Rob Schneider doing a China voice over the top of an actor who he hired? This is fucking insane.
It's just when you've got a vision, you've got to make sure you control as many of the elements to realize that vision as possible.
It's like he's doing Rodney Dangerfield from the 70s in 2017.
If the vision
is
to trample on anyone who isn't Rob... And this is something you pointed out as well. Like, Rob Schneider, you have to imagine in this show, knows he's not representing himself very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he knows enough about comedy and storytelling from doing all those Sandler films credit where it's due. He did a couple like of his own successful films, which we enjoy because we were
we've
13.
Spoken about it, yeah. As an adolescent, I thought that good. Rob Schneider was one of the potentially one of the greats.
Never Met Your Heroes on Netflix.
Yeah.
So he I think he knows enough to be like, okay, people want to see flawed characters. So he gets himself, who is already in real life a horrible human being, and dials it up.
A very conflicted human being.
But then he marries it with all these real world opinions that he actually holds as a human being, like that he's not that fond of Western medicine. He's an anti-vaxxer, right? I remember we did that episode with Sneddon about that.
Yeah. It's a great YouTube video.
So all of that to say, you go, well, this guy is wholesale an idiot, and it's confusing to know like what line he's playing with the real world stuff, like, because you just throw out everything he says, A, because it's ridiculous on its face, but B, because you're like, well, you've already built this deplorable character, so why are you giving any of your real world opinions to it?
Well, because it is still a representation of himself. Chris Kattan makes a cameo. He's a former, like, and also a washed up former SNL star. He was in a movie called Corky Romano, I believe.
Oh, shit. Was he Corky?
Yeah.
That movie, I never saw it, but had a fucking shit-hot marketing campaign. Do you remember there were bus backs, there were huge billboards going, who is Corky Romano? Everywhere. And in New Zealand, we didn't have SNL, so no one knew who the fuck this guy was. It was just some random movie. But those ads were everywhere.
He was so Rob gets a job in this episode voicing over a starfish in Starfish Wars. And they have like a set. All of the comedic premises, there are about three different premises they set up in this movie. None of them get off the ground because none of them have been given more than a second's thought. So I suppose they have some sort of improvised argument, Rob Schneider and Chris Kattan, over the premise of the voice that he's doing. Because Starfish Wars is not an animated movie, as Rob believed. It's just footage of a fish tank.
Which is in the VO booth yeah. with him.
And he's
got
the voice
camera
of,
pointed at a starfish in a tank.
He's the voice of the starfish. And
which is kind of cool. I'd watch that.
Well, that's Fish Tank Live, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Fuck, something like that. The Adult Swim show.
Yeah.
When it's done well, you know, great.
Oh, absolutely. But Rob Schneider's just playing against Rob Schneider in this instance.
So they get in an argument, and it's, you know, guys, it's the little things that really fucking get you. So, what's his name? Chris Kattan?
Chris Kattan, yeah.
He walks in. So he in the series, he's playing like the recording engineer,
but also some sort of creative engineer. Visionary, you've got to imagine, for the level of intensity he brings to their argument.
Yeah, it seems like it's his film, maybe, and he's just doing all of it or something. So he comes into the booth to make a microphone adjustment, which is moving the pop shield, which is like a meter away from the microphone. And the adjustment that he's making is he's like blowing on it to get rid of dust or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you guys, like, everyone involved in this knows how this equipment works. Why be incorrect in this way? Because it's both very incorrect,
so the whole
but
thing
also is, not for comedy. It's, like, it's not funny.
The entire operation is so janky. They also represent, you see his wife, is it Patricia?
Yeah.
She's on, you see her on set, she's shooting this commercial job. And this is the one comedic premise with Promise where you see the setup for the take, you see the actual take, you see the people around Video Village watching the take, and then Rob sort of stumbles into the background.
Video Village, by the way, because you just skimmed right over that, is where you have like a bank of a few monitors so that you've got a director, usually like the main producer.
Everyone can see what's happening.
Clients, first AD, everyone can see.
He stumbles into the background of frame and you're like, all right, what crazy thing is he going to do here? Like, I was genuinely like, oh my God, they've done it. They've found the framework for a gag. And then he just stands stationary in the background of frame until someone notices and goes, what's that guy doing walking through frame? And I was like, you fuck. Like, they did everything. They did everything. And they didn't even, this is the thing, they didn't even know that they'd stumbled into an actual gag. The episode charges on. Rob does some homemade acupuncture on Jamie.
Oh, well, now hold on. I think we should a little bit dig into that whole back and forth at this. So Rob Schneider is there. The whole purpose of this scene is so that Rob can get in the way. And it's so frustrating. It's so fucking annoying. He does little throw-in lines. He talks to them about the cameras they're using. Takes pop shots at Red for some reason, which is weird, which is a camera manufacturer. And he's, just hideous. It's like, he understands that comedy comes from conflict, but you can't just have an argument. Like, there's got to be a comedy sort of reason for it.
Oh, yeah, he's just
But he's just being fucking annoying.
Well, I think this has been the downfall of his career, is that I genuinely think he doesn't understand the framework or function of comedy.
I don't think he does either.
He thinks that if he's just annoying, he finds it amusing to himself, that other people find that amusing. But
yeah,
he's just a nightmare.
He's a fucking nightmare.
So yeah, he doesn't. But all the characters are nightmares. They're all unlikable, and
but they're all born of his. I've got so much more time for literally everyone else in this. Is they've got, by hook or by crook, some redeeming features. Like Jamie, I genuinely just can't help but feel empathy for, because he is so put upon.
Nah, I think, you know, he's an adult. He's got to look out for himself. Jamie's got to know better than to continue coming back for more punishment.
I'm not saying I love him. I'm not saying he's my favourite character in, you know, fiction. But I'm saying in this show, Rob Schneider is on a unique plinth of fuckwit. And no one even comes close to the disdain I hold for him.
Well, yeah, look, that's his maybe, but he's so unlikable that anyone who chooses to be in his immediate orbit, you know, consistently, I have no sympathy for. His wife, his daughter, maybe some. They get their daughter to do some child acting, and it is the worst. They have not taught her how to speak. So when she goes to deliver her dialogue, she doesn't round out any of the sounds. She just opens her mouth, and, like, you know, noises pour forth.
Which is all good. You're a kid, but like, if you're in a show, you have to be able to enunciate.
She, like,
the word,
she doesn't know how to nod. She doesn't know how to talk. I don't mean to criticize a 5-year old, but I feel like everything's fair game here.
Yeah, and okay, this next bit's going to be a bit mean, but like, she looks too old to be speaking like that.
Absolutely,
well, to be honest. And I think they've used their real daughter. I think, and like, maybe just, you know,
I think
have enough
too,
self-awareness.
Who else would hire out their daughter for this? So look, Tim, amongst all of this, because it's been a pretty mean-spirited conversation so far, and not without being able to justify it.
Yeah.
But I have found a news article.
Okay.
From January 20, 2019.
You could not be, like, more low energy right now. You're literally horizontal.
Yeah.
Your laptop on your belly.
Real Rob will be returning in 2019.
Fuck off.
For season 3 on Netflix around the world. We've been keeping track of the upcoming series, and this is what we know about the next season of the Rob Schneider comedy.
Shut your whore mouth.
So far.
Are you making this? Is this real?
If you've not seen the comedy, allow us to bring you up to speed. The series is based partially on the real life of Rob Schneider. It's akin to series like Louis C.K.'s show called Louis, and Aziz Ansari's Master of None.
It's exactly the same as those two shows.
It differs from the aforementioned shows by being a bit more quirky and shot in a sitcom fashion. Season 1 dropped in 2015, with the second follow-up season in September 2017. Before we begin, most of the news of the upcoming season comes from Twitter, and specifically from the show's main star. Unfortunately, while we were putting this article together, Rob decided to wipe all of his tweets. The reason for the deletion was because of his ongoing problems with how comedians are treated, specifically all the controversy surrounding Kevin Hart.
Wait, what?
No, no, so this news article has already taken an incredible turn.
This is so weird.
Has Real Rob been renewed for season 3? Yes!
How does Rob Schneider's brain fucking work?
Real Rob is returning, and soon too. We don't know exactly when season 3 of Real Rob was picked up, because the show's production is handled by Rob Schneider's own production company rather than Netflix fully. However, on Twitter, the earliest official mention was back in December 2017. Further evidence of the renewal is from an interview conducted in December 2018. Although they didn't divulge any new tales, we did hear about the process that goes into the writing of the show. Specifically, my wife and Jamie are the writing partners. They ask me for stories, and I tell them stories. And the next thing I know, whatever the rest of that comment is redacted. Yeah, so
that really blows my mind. I think if this show was slightly more skillfully made, more people would watch it. And if that happened, you would be aware of the level of racism that Rob Schneider is bringing to Netflix, and there would be a fucking boycott. It is due to his own ineptitude that he has managed to sail through to get this renewed twice.
Well, yeah, because no one's watching it.
I don't understand what's going on. And actually, we got a little clue as to what... Well, not really a little clue, but we may now know what Netflix is getting out of this. Obviously, the first season sucked massively. It was a terrible show. But Netflix have gone, look, I don't think this is costing us very much money. Guy and I... Oh, look at that, bit of sound. Posited that there was actually... The money was going in the opposite direction, whereby Rob Schneider would hand both the show and a bag full of money to put it up online to Netflix, which is not the normal chain of events.
That still makes sense to me.
And that, well, we almost saw it. So for almost a full minute of this episode, Rob Schneider is watching Narcos, the Netflix original show, and he gets addicted to watching it. That's a whole scene. And there's nothing really that comes of it. There's no real reason to put it in there, but it's just him spending a whole day watching Narcos.
And then articulating how addictive it is to his wife, who arrives home and goes, "You haven't been watching TV here. How long have you been watching TV?" And he articulates he's watched a whole season of Narcos because it's just so Moorish. I hope every episode will feature him watching a full season of a different Netflix original series.
And Netflix have, well, I guess he has, they've put a lot of Narcos right there on the screen.
It's a lot of violent show.
Yeah, it is. Oh, did you not watch it? To Rob's credit, it's fucking good. I really enjoyed it. That first season's dynamite.
Shout out to Rob.
shout out to Netflix. But they've superimposed Netflix on top of they've comped it, is what that's called. It's very obvious and very poorly done. And it's just like, fuck, man. Fuck you.
So I've found...
Fuck this whole operation. Netflix really... I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Like, this is a super offensive show and it shouldn't be in the world. And it absolutely shouldn't be on Netflix. Like, Netflix needs to take some responsibility. They actually need to nix the third season. It's great for us, like, maybe there's the possibility of us doing this again, but good of the world, fuck no.
It's
absolutely
not necessarily
not.
Great for us. So I found the rest of the interview in which that comment was redacted.
Uh-huh.
So I know Real Rob's based, this interview, based somewhat off your real life experience. Can you tell me about the writing process and decision process of what to include from your real life? Just the most embarrassing stuff we try to put in the show. The stuff that makes me look like a complete and utter jerk. That's what usually stays in. My wife and Jamie are the writing partners. They ask me for stories, and I tell them stories. And the next thing I know, there are new episodes. I've had kind of a crazy life in and out of show business. And this is a telling sentence. The best comedies are always the ones where the people look like assholes. So he there's an element of control. There's an end goal that he's working towards.
Everything's measured, though, right? You've got, for something to be watchable, it's like, yeah, we want to see an arsehole, but he's got to have some redeeming features. And he doesn't have any. Rob's character in this doesn't have any. Funny to me that he says new episodes just appear. So who's writing them, do you think? Because what I see is...
do you know, it's got to be Jamie.
I think it is.
And he's written the character as he feels he's sort of somewhat represented, like as a caricature of what his relationship to Rob is in the real world.
Makes perfect sense. So they're probably not even distant metaphors. Like, he probably has been physically injured at work. There's like one of the storylines in this episode is about the fact that Rob is he's stopped paying for Jamie's insurance, even though he's his employer, just to save some money, and that feels pretty real.
Yeah,
that feels like.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one of a kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
That's something Jamie put in. So I'm thinking what happens is Rob Schneider, they've booked out like a little workshop room, a little studio, Burbank. They drive out there. Rob turns up for 45 minutes of a 9-hour working day with a coffee. Will roll in the door, do that thing where he knows he's very, very late. So he'll start ranting about how every part of this isn't his fault and some guy cut him off and there was this thing at the dry cleaners. And that will be 15 minutes. Then Jamie will say, oh, man, I'm so glad you're here. What an awful day you've had. That's so terrible. Hey, so, Rob, can you tell me about that time when that thing happened you mentioned once? And then he'll just say the story, and then he'll leave. And that's his day. And then Jamie has to turn all of this into working scripts under, I imagine, a really tight turnaround. And I don't think he's gotten any help from anyone. Because Rob doesn't want to pay for that.
His wife, maybe, just to try and sell. Jamie probably writes even more ruthless scripts than what we see, and then his wife tempers them because she doesn't want to put Rob's worst face out into the public eye.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question we asked a guest last year, and what I'm curious in. How do you feel about this? Do you think are we punching down?
Well, we did make fun of a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah, so we were punching down then.
Yeah.
She is related to Rob Schneider.
Yeah. So what are you saying? That justifies it?
No, but it does mean I don't feel as bad about it as I otherwise would.
Yeah.
I think.
Are we punching
how
down?
How intelligent is Rob Schneider?
Not. He's not intelligent. Yeah, okay. If that's the scale, if that's the measuring stick we're using, then yes, I think we are both smarter than Rob Schneider, and I think we're punching down. And I am not afraid to say that. You and I are both a lot smarter than Rob Schneider. I think that's why he's an anti-vaxxer. He doesn't have a critical brain. He's not curious about the world. He just sort of reads random shit online and absorbs all of it. And he's a very talented, or at least was at one time in his life, a really talented performer. But he shouldn't be writing anything.
No. Or he shouldn't be responsible for creating the stories that are written into episodes. He shouldn't be helming his own show.
And what do you mean, the director-producer side of things?
No, I think it's probably, he's stretched a little thin, perhaps.
Yeah. Hey.
But do you know what is impressive, though?
Yeah.
They do get made.
They do get made. That is fucking true.
Because there are so many. There's like, I don't know quite what this articulates, but there are so many moments when I watch this where I'm like, how does everyone keep going?
For sure.
But they just do.
Yeah, they do. The episodes just keep happening.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, I would pay significant amounts of money to interview an editor who worked on this, because I guess they're part of Rob's company though, so maybe they've sort of drunk the Kool-Aid as well, and they're in there.
Well, like, how much money is he worth?
I don't think he could be worth very much, right? So his production company isn't probably, like, you know, it's not like, what's Adam Sandler's production company called?
Happy Madison,
where it's constantly up, and it's just pumping out new stuff all the time. Rob Schneider's one probably comes up for this show, and they sort of bolt on.
According to CelebrityNetWorth.com, yeah. Rob Schneider's net worth is $15 million.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot in the scheme of things. I mean,
no, but that's enough to like. That's enough to have the infrastructure to, you know, you can have a lot of people in your employ, inside of a production company, so it could all be in house. The reason this show exists is this unique and disgusting beast as it is entirely insulated from outside critical eyes.
Hey, one thing I will say for this season, it looks like they've sorted out the colour correction issues. Like, no one's eyes were glowing blue.
And they have devastatingly, I think, probably for the better of the show, but to the detriment of the podcast, they have taken out all of the interstitials. So they've taken out the Talking Heads interviews.
They've
taken out the stand-up on the soundstage.
Guy, you don't know. That could come back. Because in the first season, they were playing so fast and loose with keeping that. It was like one episode, there wouldn't be any of that. And then the next episode, it would open with him on stage.
I'm hoping that they do bring him back because it's like respite from the incompetence of storytelling. It's
so
like
true.
He's showcasing all the ways in which he doesn't understand how narrative works.
It's like if you got a box of chocolates that were all cyanide, but they were different flavors of cyanide. So, like, even though you're eating deadly poison, at least there's variety within that. That's what
they've all got the same
was.
Flavor, but they've just got different shapes.
Well, no, because you, okay, maybe that's it. Yeah, they all taste like almonds that will kill you, but some are triangles, some are diamonds, some are circles.
And we're simple people, so that's enough of a trick to be like,
at this variety box of chocolates. I just can't stress enough to you, our dear listener, how many cutaways to that weird, like, driving thing with the electro swing there is.
Yeah.
It happens about 7 times inside the episode, and they last for quite a while.
It's to establish location.
It's not.
Movement.
It doesn't establish any location. I think you'll agree with me on this. He has promised a certain duration of either the season as a total, like a minute count or a second count to Netflix, or on an episode basis, and they're having to fucking throw it all at the wall to get it across the line.
To me, it feels like those scenes are put in while his brain boots. It feels like we're trapped in his living nightmare.
Yeah.
And those scenes are his brain booting up the next big grand idea he has. So it's like, that's literally, those are buffering scenes where we're in his head and he's like, Chinese doctor's warehouse. And then suddenly you're there.
By the way, that when they go into that acupuncturist, everyone's eating dim sum at the same time. And so the joke here is that he brings Jamie in and so remember, this is Rob Schneider doing a Chinese accent, narrating around all of the things that he's saying of all the different styles of acupuncture and treatment. And the joke is, after he says each different one, he says, with dim sum. And there's dim sum lying around everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe the reason he had to dub that audio over was not because he didn't believe in the performance, but maybe the performer was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Schneider, I absolutely cannot deliver these lines.
Yeah.
And so they cut around it.
Fuck, man. Yeah. Yeah, I reckon you could be right. I was so angry watching this.
You were.
Fucking furious.
You swore a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
And no, it's okay. It's just like, it's episode one, man.
Yeah. Hey, we're doing this all in one day, guys. This is going to be such a journey. I'm excited. I genuinely am excited to see how this goes. I'm excited to hang out with all of our cool different comedy friends who are going to join us on this journey. I'm really excited about hopefully restoring a bit of normal blood sugar because I haven't eaten yet and I'm a little peckish, which was not a good way to come in.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'll leave you with this. Western medicine doesn't know how to heal anything. They just treat symptoms and drug you up.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.